Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Andrea Wood, and I'm the practitioner of the day. My pronouns are she and her. So the practitioners are here to pray with you today. We serve in many ways. And we have a prayer vessel in the back. We have a website where we also answer prayers. Anyone wearing a stole today is available for prayer after the service. So feel free to ask. But I would invite you right now to join me in prayer. Know with me as I know that there is one presence, one power, one vast unlimited source, a source of love, a source of light, support and guidance. And we at CSL Bellingham are embarking on a new journey together, taking with us all the riches of the past, and moving forward into a new expression, a wide open vista of newness and expansion. And I know that we stand on solid ground and spirit is here. All the growth and all the growth opportunities that happen now and in the future are here to bless us. And CSL Bellingham opens our heart with love and welcome to all the newness and all the visitors that we have today. Big welcome. Thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is.
Well, I'm not used to it yet. I can get used to this. Welcome, everybody. I am Abigail Shire. My pronouns are she and her. And my family, my ethnicity, my ancestry hails from Ireland, Germany, and Prussia. Yeah, Prussia. So somewhere in one of those many countries, we don't know which one, but that's where my ancestry hails from. And I'm grateful to be here today on sacred and holy land. And I recognize and know that this land was occupied by indigenous tribes and is still occupied by indigenous tribes. So I honor all the tribes that are here and are currently supporting us as we are supporting this land as well. And there's a story about a man, maybe you've heard of him, Siddhartha Gautama, I can say it right. Anyway, the guy who later became known as Buddha. Before he started studying practices. He wanted to get to enlightenment. He was like, I want to get to enlightenment. I want to understand. I want to connect with the infinite. Have you ever felt that way? And so he was trying all the things. He was trying everything. What are the things that can work? He was studying with different masters, different teachers, and he found this one path that he thought this was the path. And it was a path of self-denial, ascetic practices, self-denial. And he was to the point where he was really close to death because he was denying food. And he thought, maybe this is the way. Maybe this is the way. And there was a wonderful woman who came by him and saw him emaciated, and her name was Sujata. And she didn't know what he was doing. She just saw a emaciated man. And so she offered him a bowl of milk rice. Now, Siddhartha knew that if he took this milk rice, he would be disobeying the vow that he made. And yet something inside of him said, this is the way. So he ended up eating that bowl of rice, and then he sat under the Bodhi tree, and it was soon after that he achieved enlightenment. So it wasn't the path of suffering that gave him enlightenment. It was the path of knowing what is right for you. And for him, he knew he needed sustenance. And he followed his internal guidance. And I wonder if we do that, if we take a vow of saying a sacred yes to our internal guidance system, or I like to call it GPS, God positioning system. But not everybody in the room likes that word God. So, you know, you've got quantum physics, you've got life, you've got goddess, you've got source, you've got life. Whatever word you use for the infinite everything that is, in it is consciousness. And in that consciousness, we are swimming in that soup, the soup of consciousness. And we have our own individualized kind of condensed expression of consciousness. And in the big consciousness, there is guidance and direction for our highest and greatest good. And are we listening? Are we saying yes? Are we willing to give up our old self? See, that's the thing. You have to give up your old self in order to step into the new. Buddha had to give up who he was in order to achieve enlightenment. It's like Jesus had a parable for it. Jesus talked about you can't put new wine in old wineskins, and that's because the new wine, the acidity, would destroy the old wineskin. You had to have a new wineskin for it. And so if you are seeking something new in yourself, in this community, in this country, it means that it's your and my opportunity to let go of the old. This month we're talking about crossing the threshold. So there's this beautiful hero's journey story that we're all on. We're all on our own individualized hero's journey. We're also on a collective hero's journey together. And on this hero's journey, there's the call that comes. And the call looks like something needs to change. That's what it looks like. Has anybody felt that call? And then there's the answering of the call, which means if something needs to change, that means I get to participate in the change, which means I need to embark on an adventure. I need to go on a journey, which in the hero's journey is that person leaves their house. They have to not only get the call, but they have to answer the call. And usually in typical hero's journey stories, there's kind of a doubt or a thinking, well, maybe it's not mine to do. Or maybe it's not really my call. And so really, before even leaving the house, the hero has this doubt or this concern and this worry. And then there has to come a point of clarity, of yes, this is mine to do. So there's all that happens on the internal before actually embarking on the adventure and crossing the threshold. But what that means is you have to leave the old behind. You have to let it go. And so this whole month is on crossing the threshold together. Because we as a community are crossing into a new version of ourselves as a collective community. And it also applies for your own individual life. But that means that we have to let go of the old self. We have to let go of what once was. And I don't mean, you know, tossing it out the window. You know, like, hey, Colleen, see you later. No. It means that we stand on the shoulders of giants and we take all of those gifts that we've gained from everybody who supported us up until this moment. And all of that knowledge and all of those gifts are exactly what we need to prepare us for the future. We were meant for times like this. We were meant to do this together. And the time is now to cross into that new version. And in the journey, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulties or newness that we've never even imagined, and we don't know how to do it. But the beautiful thing is that the infinite universe, source itself, has everything contained within it for the fruition of its highest good. Jesus also talked about having the faith of a mustard seed, and I just really love, I love this. I for those of you who don't know, I was a rainbow girl growing up, for anybody who knows rainbow girls, and I got this little mustard seed pin. It was like a pin with a glass case mustard seed, and the mustard seed was a reminder that all you need is, I mean, they're tiny. The mustard seeds are tiny. It's like, that's all you need, is a little bit of knowing that the universe is fully supporting you in order for it to manifest. That's all you need. Just that little tiny thing. And the cool thing about mustard is it's kind of like blackberries. You plant mustard, they just grow everywhere. it's prolific, we'll say. And that's all you need, is for a little bit of faith to know a prolific life is destined for you to have. And not just a prolific life, but a prolific community, country, world. And we're the ones who get to step into this threshold together. You know, there's a story of a Sufi story. It was a master. He kept a golden chest in his room. Beautiful golden chest. And his students always wondered, what is in that chest? And he always had the chest nearby. He had the key around his neck. They were always like, something good in that chest. And as he was on his deathbed, he gave his key to his most sacred student, his highest person who had followed him and learned the mastery that he had given. And they quickly went, and they unlocked the chest. They opened the golden chest, and in it was nothing. Nothing. And he said, oftentimes the treasures we hold dear are nothing. And in the nothing, when we accept that and we're willing, the biggest treasures come to us. So that's something that's really interesting about the hero's journey, is that as you embark, you have to release and surrender and let go. You might have to let go of physical things. Maybe you need to let go of beliefs that are holding you back. Maybe it's ways of being that have always been. But there's this opportunity of, if you want to step into the new and embark on this new adventure, there has to be a time to let go and get that spaciousness of nothing in order for something to come into being. In Kabbalistic teachings, there's a concept called zimzum, which is called divine contraction. So before creation could occur, God, goddess, source, whatever you call it, had to make space. It had to make the void for something new to emerge. So the sacred yes, that's the theme for this week, is the sacred yes. It's saying yes to emptying out, saying yes to releasing, saying yes to surrendering. So what could you surrender? What could you let go of? What thing in your life could you clear out to create that void for the newness to come into being? A lot of times people think that this time of year, which is the going inward time of year, is depressing. It's not about depressing. The void is not depressing. The void is the place of creation. The void is the place of creation. So when there is that emptying, that releasing, that surrendering, then that means that something new is coming into being. And I wonder what it could look like. What newness could it be? And sometimes you don't have to effort it or make it happen. You just need to be willing to let go and to know that creation is working on your behalf. One of the things that I love about the sacred yes is that it's an embodied act. It's an embodying act of beingness. The New Thought movement, that's Unity, Divine Science, Christian Science, Centers for Spiritual Living, Agape, all of that is part of the New Thought movement. All of those are different spiritual organizations. We're all part of this big movement that's happening and has been happening for over 100 years. It's been taught in the past that just, you know, some of you may have heard this, just change your thinking, change your life. Well, that's true, but that's kind of a beginning. Change your thinking is a beginning. Ernest Holmes, who's the founder of Centers for Spiritual Living, he taught, the law is mind in action. There's one infinite mind from which all things come, and that mind operating through law makes the gift. So one thing that is happening, all that comes forth through law, which operates on our intentions and our actions, makes the gift, which means the manifestation of what we want comes into reality. Mind in action. There's something really key there. Mind in action. The sacred yes must move from consciousness to embodiment. From thinking to embodiment. Did you know that we have science of mind in Japan? Anybody know that? No. It's called Seicho no Iie, teachings. One of the co-founders is Masaru Taniguchi, and he founded it with Fenwick Holmes, which is Ernest Holmes' brother. Yeah. So while we know of Ernest Holmes, they know of Fenwick Holmes. And they co-wrote a book that is all about the science of mind in Japan. And in one of the teachings, Masaru Taniguchi talks of a woman whose husband was an alcoholic. So she visualized him as not being an alcoholic. She did affirmations about him not being an alcoholic. And then Masaru Taniguchi asked her, well, how do you treat him? What do you do? What are your actions around him? And she said, well, I treat him as if he's drunk. I hide the money. I check his breath. I assume he's lying. And he said, your lips are saying one thing, but your actions are doing another thing. What if you could actually treat him like he's whole and perfect and complete exactly as he is? Now, I know that this is a story, and I also don't want to have anybody who's being abused or having abuse in your life. It's not okay to accept that. I just want to acknowledge that. And it's good to put boundaries down with people who are not willing to make the changes in their own life. However, one of the things we teach practitioners and ministers in this organization is to see the God, Goddess source in every single person, which means you see them as perfect, whole, and complete, regardless of what the outer circumstances are going on. So can you do that in your life with other people? Practitioners can. That's what they do. You come for a prayer request. You can tell great stories. Great stories. They're not going to believe your stories. They're going to know the truth for you. They're going to know the infinite power that is contained in this. It's not really contained. It's actually everywhere. But it's in and through each and every one of us. And we get the opportunity to see and know that for each other. And when I know your highest good, oftentimes you live up to it. When I see the God in you or the Goddess in you, oftentimes people will rise up to the truth of who they are. But are we actually doing that? So I asked that question, and I preface this. I had Andrea and Deborah say the pronouns because it's really important to me that we walk our talk. I found it really great. One of the core values of this community posted on the website that was co-created by this community prior to me coming on was, it states this, we are committed to spiritual support for all individuals, all families, all gender identification, sexual orientation, race identification, and socioeconomic status. Those are really awesome words. And I really believe that. And I'm completely in alignment with that. And I'm going to tell you a little story. And if this is any of you, I want you to just release judgment, release blame, release shame. I'm not telling you this story because of that. And when Dr. Bob was here, he did this thing, what do you want to keep doing, stop doing, start doing? I read the document last week of what this community had said. And one of the things it said to stop doing is using pronouns. And what I want you to understand is I'm using my pronouns because, first of all, I have a privilege. People who see me on the street, they might assume a particular gender identity around me that is actually what I'm in alignment with. But many people who are my friends, people in this community, that may not be their truth. And when I say my pronouns from the pulpit, basically I'm saying that whatever your gender identity is here, you're welcome. That means you belong as part of this community. It's not about me. I know what my pronouns are, and I know what people assume as my pronouns. People assume that I identify as female, which is true. I do. But that's not true for everybody in this room, everybody online. And in order for me to walk my talk, I need to be a place of safety for them. And I'm just going to put it one more way. How many people in the room has ever changed their name, first name, or last name? Raise your hand. That's a lot of people. And when you changed your name and somebody wanted to call you by your former name, did you correct them? Yeah. My wife changed her last name to Shire because her last name was Hernandez and her first name is Maria. She goes by Gina. Maria Hernandez, there's a lot of Maria Hernandezes out there. And she was having problems on her credit report because all the Maria Hernandezes got put on her credit report. So she's like, I want your German last name. And what happened is that people had to change how they called her. She said, this is my new identity. I'm asking you to change how you're calling me because of my new identity. And people do that all the time with name changes. It's the same thing, though, when you're using terms like she, her, they, them. And so if you could just kind of reframe and go, oh, they've changed their identity. This is now their new identity. And now because I love them, I'm going to call them by what they're requesting. It's the same thing. So I just wanted to talk about how important it is when we say the sacred yes to something like this value, that's what it means to walk our talk. And it might mean that it's uncomfortable. It might mean that I need to change my language a little bit on how I've referred to things, and I might mess up and I might make mistakes, but that's what happens when you're changing a habit. You got to do something like at least 26 times to make it a habit. So have you done it 26 times consistently in a row? Probably not. So have compassion with yourself, have compassion with each other, and I want to encourage you to use your pronouns and to honor other people's pronouns. We have name tags that say my pronouns are. If you want to write your pronouns in, it's great. If you don't, that's okay too. You don't need to do that. I just wanted to help you understand why I think it's important. It's just such a little action where if somebody new walks in, they go, oh, I might be welcome here. And that's what we really want. So I want to encourage you to know that the sacred yes requires releasing old maps. And to know that it is an embodied act. You are acting in alignment with what you're saying. You can say all the things you want, but until you're actually acting as if that's true, it's not going to make a difference. Oh yeah, I want a husband or wife or a partner, but I'm not really doing anything that's in alignment with that. Are you making space in your bed? You're sleeping on one side of the bed? Are you putting your profile up on some kind of service? Are you getting yourself out there, out of your comfort zone and meeting people? Are you dreaming up who you would love to have as your ideal partner? You got to take actions when you want some outcome in life. Actions in the community if you want a new outcome. Actions in the country if you want a new idea possibility. You walk in alignment of what that new vision is, as if the universe is fully supporting you and it coming into being. That's the most important thing. As if it's not all on you. You have a whole universe of support, because we do. So those are the three things I want you to remember. One, the sacred yes requires releasing the old, letting go, clearing out. The second thing is that it's an embodied act. And the third thing is that you are fully supported by the universe, and you just have to act in alignment with it. Welcome home. I'm so glad you're here because it's my home too. And let's pray. I recognize and acknowledge that infinite everything, God, source, goddess, love, universe, quantum field is here present, and it is conscious and aware, and its consciousness and awareness is a part of my beingness. That I am guided and sustained and directed by this infinite creation that loves itself so much that it birthed life as me and as you. And I recognize and know that I am here to participate in the co-creation of a life that works for everyone. A life of support, a life of thriving, a life of love. And that I choose and know that I'm guided and directed internally to know the right and perfect next steps in order for my continual unfoldment of good for my life, for my community, for my country, and for my world. I'm grateful to know that I am inspired by actions that allow me to move forward, and I act and step in alignment with them As I claim this for myself, I claim this for every single person here and online that is connected to this consciousness, that is open to this higher good. I consciously release and surrender anything in me that is holding me back from the fullness of this truth revealing itself to me. And I know that today, that this month is a threshold month. I am ready to embark on the adventure. I'm ready to do it with all of my friends and colleagues. And I'm ready to be a place where the infinite shows up as revelation, as inspiration, as revolution, and as love. It is the complete love-olution that is happening on this planet that I am participating in. And I know and claim that we are united in consciousness as a part of this holy expression that is called life. And in that, I celebrate the ease, the grace, the miracles, the unexpected delights on the journey, knowing that this is the foundation for even better. Because it just keeps getting better. There is no end to the good of the infinite one. And so I just claim it. I accept it, I embody it, I am it, and I claim it for all of us here and anybody watching online. As I release this, I let it go easily and effortlessly, and I walk forward in alignment with this truth, and I let the universe do all the rest of the work. Yay, God, yay, source, yay, goddess, and so it is.